Well, Hebrews chapter number 11 is where we're headed to this morning. This year we've been going through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 on Sunday mornings, and we've been enjoying learning some wonderful lessons of faith from this chapter. This morning we'll just look at one verse to begin with. Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verse 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's ask for the Lord's help this morning as we study this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach you this morning, Lord, help us to come to you, Lord, in the terms that you have laid out in your word. Father, we know that if our hearts are hardened, if our hearts are closed, Lord, we will not be able to profit from your word this morning. And so we come to you in preparation, Father, and we pray that, Lord, we would turn our hearts towards thee. Lord, help us to allow you to rebuke us and to remold us, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you that he is still at work in this world, bringing sinners to Christ for salvation. And Lord, we thank you that he lives within every born-again Christian to help us, Lord, to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would teach us this morning some more truths from your word regarding what it means to live by faith. Lord, we thank you for the example of Joseph. Help us, we pray, as we seek thee to teach us and to bring us forward in our faith this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, we've chosen three memory verses this month that all focus on the subject of death. As you see in verse number 20 to 22, the Lord brings us to the death scenes of Isaac, of Jacob, and now Joseph. And the Lord, I believe, wants us to be reminded, does he not, that all of us have an appointment with eternity. Everything that you and I do in life is a preparation for that final moment that you and I will close our eyes here on earth and open them in a world to come. For God's children, those who are born again, that will be the moment that you and I open our eyes and we will see him face to face. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, did two things, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, this singular verse in verse 22 sums up the entire life of Joseph. And it's interesting that God chooses this one event at the very end of Joseph's life to teach us something, what it means to live by faith. Some of them may have been lessons we've learnt from Jacob and Isaac. It seems that the Lord maybe wants us to learn them again and be reminded again. We're going to look at three things this morning. First of all, notice Joseph's faith when the future seemed uncertain. You know, Joseph was a great man of faith. And it's an amazing statement as we begin verse 22 that by faith Joseph, when he died, was still a man of faith. Amen. What does that tell us this morning? Well, first of all, Joseph during his life continued to grow in faith, didn't he? The Bible indicates to us this morning that when Joseph died, he was a greater man of faith than he was to begin with. He continued to grow. He continued to face the trials that God laid before him. He continued to press forward. What does the Bible say? Well, very simply, would you agree with me this morning that Joseph didn't quit? Amen. He didn't give up on God. He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't say, God, this is too much, I can't handle it. God, you are not loving. Lord, you've abandoned me. No, Joseph didn't say that. Joseph was a man of faith. And here we see very simply to begin with that he lived a life of faith. And I believe we see that he had faith, first of all, when the future seemed uncertain. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, please, if you will. The book of Genesis, chapter number 37. There's much to say about the life of Joseph. We're just going to highlight a few events that we know of. Genesis chapter 37. The Bible tells us in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph was just a teenager when he was sent by his dad to visit his brothers in Shechem. His brothers were shepherds. Jacob was his father. Joseph, as you know, was the favorite son. Jacob, the father, had given Joseph a great colorful coat to adorn his most favorite son. And as a result, his brothers hated Joseph. His brothers also hated Joseph because of the word of God. Remember, God told Joseph exactly what would happen in the future to come, and his brothers hated the idea that Joseph one day would rule over them. Remember, they hated Joseph. Joseph was despised. And when they saw Joseph coming from a distance, the Bible tells us in chapter number 37, towards the middle of the chapter, verses 20 and onwards, the Bible says that as they saw Joseph approaching, there was hatred in the brothers' hearts, were there not? They hated their brother. Some of them wanted to kill him. Others said, well, let's not do that. Let's just throw him into a pit. And friends, that was a very deep well that had been dried up. That's where they threw Joseph in. When they came, the Bible tells us they ripped the coat off him. The Bible tells us they picked him up, his own family, his own brothers. And then they threw him headlong into that pit. Ultimately, you know the story. The brothers decided not to kill Joseph, but to sell him to slave traders, to sell him into slavery. And as we look at the scriptures later on, in verse 42, you don't need to turn there, but the brothers recount what took place on that day. The Bible tells us that they remember the anguish of Joseph's soul. They remembered walking away from the pit, hearing their brother cry out for help, cry out for mercy, cry out to his own brothers as they walked away and as they abandoned him. The anguish of his soul. But friends, as Joseph was thrown into the pit, what did he do? Did Joseph give up? Did Joseph quit on God? You know, as Christians, when you and I find ourselves in the pit, if you will, many times, perhaps the pit of despair, the pit of anger, the pit of unforgiveness, the pit of depression and discouragement, oftentimes that's the moment you and I choose to quit on God. We choose to stay in that place of discouragement and despair. I don't think any of us have ever faced anything near to what Joseph had experienced. But friends, Joseph didn't give up. And that's encouraging to us this morning, is it not? He didn't give up. Friends, it wasn't God's will for Joseph to stay in the pit. And likewise, it is not God's will for you and I to stay there either. You see, God had allowed this trial to come forth in the life of Joseph. And we see that Joseph went from the pit to Potiphar's house. What does the Bible tell us in Genesis 39? Let's have a look at that quickly this morning. Genesis chapter 39. Look with me in verse number 2. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. On to 1, 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Friends, Joseph did not give up on God. Why is that? Because Joseph knew who his God was. He knew that God did not give up on him. Amen. Look at verse number 3. The Bible tells us, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Friends, this is not a young man that was discouraged, that had abandoned God, that had remained in a pit of despair and depression and was doubting who God was and what God was doing. Friends, this was a young man of faith. And teenagers, this wasn't a small thing for Joseph to keep his faith during a time like this. Remember, teenagers, and what would you have done if you were his age? And everything in your life changed in an instant. Young people, you probably have dreams about the future. Things you want to do with your life. Places you may want to go. Goals you may want to accomplish. But what took place in the life of Joseph? Everything, in an instant, was taken from him. Joseph was sold into slavery. At 17 years old, he could no longer determine the future of his own plans and existence. Joseph could no longer choose where to live anymore. Joseph could no longer choose what food he wanted to eat. Joseph could no longer choose what clothes he wanted to wear, or what language he was going to speak, or what occupation he would do for the rest of his life. Maybe he dreamed of being a shepherd and serving the Lord like his older brothers, but now he was a slave. Young people, he couldn't choose his friends anymore. He couldn't choose many things in life. But yet, what do we find in the life of Joseph? We find a young man full of faith, and the Lord prospered him. And church family, I believe what we see this morning is a wonderful example of faith. You see, Joseph died in faith because he was a young man that lived by faith. He never forgot God. And you might say, how is that possible? Everything was taken from him. Imagine this morning if everything was taken from you. You see, Joseph knew something that we need to remember this morning. Friends, when everything is turned upside down, it may seem that everything's taken from us, but that's not true. There is one person that still remains. Though Jacob was gone, though his brothers were not there, though he had been abandoned by his family, friends, God had not gone anywhere. God was right with Joseph. And God had a wonderful plan for Joseph, wouldn't you agree, that Joseph could not have possibly foreseen at that stage. But why did Joseph not stay in that pit of depression and despair? It was because Joseph knew his God. Joseph knew who his God was. Joseph knew that God had a plan and a purpose for his life. Joseph knew the prophecies of God. Joseph knew that God was always loving. Joseph knew that God was holy and just, and that means he cannot do anything wrong. You see, Joseph encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, we don't read those verses in the Bible, but we know that's what happened. We know that God's hand was upon Joseph, and because of his good attitude, his boss, his slave master, if you will, saw the blessing of God upon this young man's life. Friends, this wasn't a young man that turned his back on God. So many Christians often do. We throw our hands up when we're in the pit of despair and we say to God, God, I've had enough. God, this is unfair. Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't want this. And what do? We remain in the pit. Friends, it's not God's plan for us to stay there. Why? Because of the pit? Because of the circumstances? No. Because of who He is. Because of who He is in our lives. Because of the fact that what He tells us in His Word is absolutely true. Friends, nothing can be true and untrue at the same time. Would you agree? It is either true or it is a lie. So we need to make up our mind as Christians. Are we going to live by faith according to the truth, or are we going to live by our own feelings and our own unbelief? You see, the Bible tells us that God is always loving. Always. And if He's always loving, there can never be a moment in your life and mine where it's true that God doesn't love us anymore. Would you agree? Amen. If He's always loving, then that cannot change. Then why do we accuse God for being unfair and unloving? You see, God is always good. Friends, God is always up to good in your life. God will always provide for your greatest need. That's what the Bible tells us. God is holy. He cannot sin. And you and I think that God has done us wrong. Friends, that is not true. In fact, the Bible calls that unbelief. Unbelief. You see, Joseph did not live his life out in unbelief. He did not live his life in unbelief and get to the end and say, oh, now I see how everything worked out. Well, I might as well trust in God now. No, he trusted in God from day one. Amen. He trusted in God from the beginning. Let me encourage you, Christian, to get to know your God. Because there'll be times that you and I will find ourselves in the pit, will we not? Perhaps it's not something that you have done. Perhaps it's something that someone has done to you. Maybe an offense has come your way. Maybe someone has hurt you. Maybe someone has let you down. But the question is, how will you and I respond? If you and I respond in unbelief and anger and frustration and you and I walk away from God, then friends, the problem is ours. The problem is ours. And we need to quickly remember that unbelief is not a light thing. God says unbelief is sin. When you and I cry out to God, God, you're being unfair, that is a sin. That is sin. We're calling God a liar. We're saying, God, you are not who you say you are. I think that you are unfair and unjust, and I don't deserve this. We're calling God a liar. And so often we go through the Christian life and we allow the pattern of sinful thinking in our lives to go unchecked and unconfessed and undealt with. And no wonder we find ourselves still stuck in the pit, still in that place of despair. Well, what's the solution? Faith. The just shall live by faith. As Christians, we need to repent of our sins. I'm not talking about salvation this morning. Once that's dealt with at the cross, we are children of God. But we need to repent of our sins as Christians. We need to continue to ask the Lord to forgive us for our daily sins so that we can be right with Him. But if we allow those thoughts of unbelief to mold us as believers in this world, we will not die in faith like Joseph. We can die in unbelief, still go to heaven, but not know our God at all, because we haven't lived by faith. We haven't chosen to believe what God has said to us about Himself. You see, for Joseph, he'd lost everything. But Joseph had one person. And to Joseph, God was more than enough. He was everything to Joseph. And that enabled Joseph to move forward in his faith and to prosper. You know, Joseph was a man of faith. We find that he was taken from the pit to Potiphar's house. Suddenly he was in a place of blessing. Now let me remind you that when you and I are moving forward by faith, there will be challenges, there will be tests, there will be temptations. The devil doesn't like it when God's people live by faith. The devil doesn't want God's people to move forward. Now you remember what happened to Joseph in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife set her eyes on Joseph. He was a young man that she admired, that she desired. And when she tried to force him to commit adultery with her, what was Joseph's response? Now some of you know what Joseph said. But I dare say, if Joseph was a man that was still in the pit of depression, if Joseph was a man who had bitterness towards God, let me assure you, this young man would have fallen headlong into sexual immorality straight away. Absolutely. What kept Joseph clean? What kept Joseph pure? It was his relationship with God. For when Potiphar's wife tempted him, what did he say? He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, Joseph was living by faith. You might say this morning, well, it's no big deal. Yes, it is. The reason why you fall into sin, and a Christian even into heinous immorality and perverse wickedness. Why? It's because you've turned your back on God. You're not living by faith anymore. To you, God is not who He says He is. You've made Him out to be a God who doesn't love you anymore. A God who is untrustworthy. A God who cannot provide for your every need in who He is Himself. You see, Joseph did not fall into sin because of who he knew his God is. Amen? Because of his relationship with God. That's how serious this is. And God was at work in Joseph's life, helping him to grow. Yes, there were temptations, but Joseph knew his God. We need to know who God is. We need to grow in our faith. Friends, this is a serious theme. Now, last year we thought our theme on the book of Revelations was serious. Friends, this is just as serious. If we are not living by faith, we are living in unbelief. And if any man draw back, the Bible tells us, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means we're living a life of offense to God. And the next temptation may be our last, may be our greatest fall. You see, Joseph had faith when the future seemed uncertain. He didn't know the end of the matter, but he trusted in God. And then he went from Potiphar's house to the prison. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison. He was locked up in the king's prison, the Bible tells us. Joseph suddenly became an enemy of the state. For doing what? For just doing what is right. The Bible, in fact, doesn't record one sin that Joseph committed. Now, we know he was a sinner in need of a Savior, but the Bible doesn't tell us of one sin that Joseph committed. He was innocent, falsely accused. He was thrown into that prison. And once again, we find Joseph living by faith. We find him living by faith. God promoted him in that prison. God used him and God blessed him, and God's hand was upon this young man because he chose to set his eyes upon God and believe that God is in control. And if God is good and if God is just, then that settles it, and all the feelings of my heart and all the despair in my life is wrong, wrong thinking, unbelief, and he dealt with that and he set his affections and his faith upon God. Amen. And God blessed him. And then God took him out of the prison. And where did he take him? To the palace. To the palace of the king. We can't share every detail this morning, but before you know it, Joseph became the viceroy of the empire of Egypt. Second in charge only to Pharaoh himself. Now, how did that happen? Well, I dare say that Joseph lived by faith. Joseph lived by faith. And that's a choice that you and I need to make as God's people. A daily choice. Who do we believe our God is? You see, Joseph's faith wasn't based upon his circumstances. Friends, if Joseph's faith was based upon what was happening around him, he wouldn't have any faith at all. Joseph's faith was not, in fact, it was Joseph had faith despite his circumstances. Despite the worst things that happened to him, he had more opportunity that God allowed him to have to choose to put his trust in God, despite the darkness of the prison, despite the separation from his family, despite the heartbreaks, despite the heartache. Joseph trusted in God. And that's what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We cannot see God, but we know him. Amen? He does not stand in front of us, but he is real. And that's what faith is. Faith in the unseen. If you and I are living by sight, we are not living by faith. If you and I are living by our feelings, we are not living by faith. If you and I are living by the tragic circumstances in our lives, we are not trusting in God. You see, God was in control, absolute control. And his plan was much greater than Joseph could have ever imagined. And though we may not see the end of the trials that we are facing this morning, perhaps you are in the pit this morning and God is calling you to look up once again to him. You may not know the end of the path that he has laid before you. But if God is good, then we know that his will be done. And that path for us is the best that you and I can have in life. You see, as Joseph ended his life, he ended in faith. By the time we read verse 22, Joseph had already been reunited with his father, Jacob. He had already been reunited at his with his brothers. God had brought his brothers to repentance. Then God revealed to his brothers who Joseph was. Joseph was reunited with his father. And suddenly Joseph was once again back with his family. And Joseph realized in the very end that God, through him, through the trials of Joseph's life, had preserved the nation of Israel. God had preserved the very people whom the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come from. You see, God's plan is so much greater than what we can see around us. But so often we live by sight, do we not? You can speak to me this morning. We live by what we can see. And we say we're living by faith. But where's our Bible? Where's our heart? Where's our trust in God? Well, it's gone out the window. It's at the bottom of the pit. We're stepping on it. We're not putting our faith in God. And when our circumstances change, that's when we start to feel better. You can say amen. That's when we think the sky, the clouds are opening up and we can see the light. No, that's not faith at all. That's just circumstances. And thank God, God is gracious and oftentimes just yanks us out of the pit and says, all right, we need to try again at another time. Thankfully, He's gracious to us, is He not? But folks, God is at work in our lives to help us to live by faith, to know what it means to trust in God and to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Joseph was a man who lived by faith when the future seemed uncertain. Genesis chapter number 50, while we're still there. If you're still there in the book of Genesis, notice with me, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. At the end of Joseph's life, you might like to keep a bookmark there or your finger there. Genesis chapter 50. At the end, his brothers still feared Joseph, what he would do, whether he would take revenge. If he wasn't a man of faith, let me assure you, he would have ended their lives very quickly and he would have been done with them. Anger and revenge, after all those years, would have built up like a volcano about to explode, erupt. What would have happened to Joseph? What would have happened to the nation of Israel? Thank God for this young man of faith. Notice verse number 20. Joseph said to his brothers, "But as for you, what you did to me in that pit, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." I trust this is one of your favorite verses in the Bible. What an amazing revelation of God. But Joseph's faith did not begin here. He died in faith because he lived by faith. And friends, do you realize that there is a New Testament equivalent to Genesis 50 and verse number 20. Notice with me Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8. What is the New Testament equivalent to Genesis 50? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Perhaps you know it off by heart. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 28. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? Genesis 8, verse 28. Excuse me, Romans. Thank you, brother. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Is Joseph's God the same as our God? Is he as dependable? Sometimes we look at the lives of those in the Old Testament and we say, well, they had faith because somehow God was different to them as he is to us. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let's read together on 2. 1, 2. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Friends, there is our faith. And we know, if we know God, if we know who he is, then we will know. And we do know, and we will live by faith, knowing that God works all things together for good. And when our lives are turned upside down, when the future seems uncertain, thank God the future is still bright, just as the promises of God for the child of God. Friends, we don't need to despair. We don't need to stay in the pit because of who our God is. You see, Joseph was a man of faith. And you and I can live by faith this morning, by simply trusting in God's word. Let me ask you this morning, where is your faith? Are you in the pit right now? Friends, if you are, we've all been there. God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to look up. Amen. He wants you to look up to Him. Not to the circumstances. To God. To Him. He is at work. What an amazing life, the life of Joseph. Let me encourage you to study it and to enjoy it. Because our God is the same God. He is at work in our life, and He brings miraculously beyond our human comprehension all things together for good. What's our calling as Christians? To live by faith. Just trust God. If He cannot lie, then He is trustworthy. If he is always good, then He will always love us. If He is holy, then we must be honest with God. He will always forgive us. Thank God for who He is. But we must live by faith. Or else we'll live the rest of our lives in the pit. Thank God, verse 22 in the book of Hebrews, as we turn back, doesn't say, when Joseph died, he was in the pit. And there were his bones. Thank God the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, verse 22 in the book of Hebrews, by faith Joseph, when he died, by faith, he was still a man of faith. A man of great faith. So the first lesson we learned this morning is the need to have faith when the future seems uncertain. God does not go anywhere. He is still our God, and it is an opportunity for faith. Secondly, notice we see Joseph's faith in God's future promises. Now quickly, we see in this verse that Joseph did two things when he died. First of all, verse 22 tells us that he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Now, in his death, as he was about to die, why did Joseph tell those around him that the nation of Israel will one day leave Egypt? In fact, how did Joseph know that these things were going to happen? Remember, Joseph did not have the Word of God. And let me say this. You and I have the completed revelation of God in our very hands. Yes or no?
Yes,
we do. The completed revelation of God for mankind. How much did Joseph have in his hands? None of it. He had some in his heart though, amen. And to him that was more precious than gold. To him that was life. To him that was the breath, the oxygen that he breathed was faith because of what he knew about his God. Turn with me once again to Genesis chapter 50. How did Joseph know? How did Joseph know about the departing of the nation of Israel one day when Moses would arise and lead God's people out? How did he know? Look with me in verse 24. Genesis 50, verse 24. Are you still with me this morning? All right, Genesis 50, verse 24. And Joseph said to his brethren, I die. And God will, notice the next word, surely, as he promised, without a shadow of a doubt, visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware. To whom? To Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. There it is. You see, God first gave the promises to whom? To Abraham. Then he confirmed them with Jacob. And then he confirmed them with Isaac and then with Jacob. And how did Joseph know about the departing of the children of Israel? It's because the faith was passed down from generation to generation. You see, Joseph knew what was going to happen because he had faith in the future promises of God. They were passed down to him. He believed in them. And though he knew they will not unfold within his lifetime, he had no doubt, would you agree, that they were going to be fulfilled to the letter. Surely God will visit you. I'm going to die now. I'm going to God, he said. But I know something. I want to encourage you, Joseph said. This is what God will do. This is what God will do. You see, to Joseph, the deliverance of the nation of Israel from Egypt would have been so far away, so removed in his heart, hundreds of years later. But friends, Joseph knew that if God had made a promise about the future, then God would keep his promise. What do we learn? Well, you and I simply need to have faith when the future seems uncertain. Secondly, we need to have faith in the future promises of God. Friends, everything that God says about the future will come to pass exactly as he says it will. My friends, over 1,800 prophecies are found within the Word of God. And the small portion that have been unfulfilled, that have not been fulfilled, is the small portion left of those events yet to come. Every prophecy in the past has been fulfilled. The only ones left are those that are in the future. And Christian, we live in exciting times. God has told us what the future is. And yet so often you and I live a life of unbelief as Christians. By the way we live. By the passions that we hold on to. Not even thinking perhaps twice about what's to come. About what God tells us what the future holds for mankind. You see, there are some things that God wants us to know. Adults, God wants you to trust in God's promises today. He wants you to trust in who He is, but He wants you to trust in that which is to come. Friends, God wants us to live by faith. What does that mean? Having faith in the future promises of God. Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. The book of the Revelation is a book about the future. God has laid out for us what the future will hold. Notice verse 11. John records, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Friends, the Bible tells us some of the most shocking passages and description of what is to come in the future. So often we live our lives in unbelief, do we not? We know that the Bible tells us that there is a hell. We know that Christ warned more about hell than He talked about heaven because He didn't want anyone to go there. So He spoke the truth. He said it's a place of torment. It's a place of burning fire. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here we see the end. The great white judgment throne. Every single soul that has never been born again, that has never truly trusted in Christ as their personal Savior, will stand before a holy judge. And the judgment will be final. The judgment will be revealed at the great white throne. And the books will be open. And the Bible says that those who are standing there will be judged according to their works. Now friends, if you and I are judged according to our works, we are in big trouble. Because the Bible says that even our righteousnesses before a holy God are as filthy rags. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is none righteous, no, not one. You and I can never do anything good. Any good works to please God, because we are all sinners. Every good thing we try to do is contaminated by sin. That's how wretched we are. That's how lost we are before a holy God. And God, who is holy, must judge sin. That's why there's a place called hellfire. That's why the Bible tells us the future. If you've looked down in your Bibles this morning, you've seen the future. Friend, God wants us to know what's ahead, so we can live by faith today. Let me ask you this morning, if you died today, where would you stand? Would you be sure that your eternal destiny is with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? Or will you appear before the great white judgment throne? And the Bible says very clearly, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Young people, this isn't a time for doubts. God says what will happen, and if God says it, He means it. And we need to be serious about our faith this morning, parents. We need to be serious about God. We need to be serious about the gospel. Every single soul that has never been saved will appear at this judgment and will be cast into the lake of fire. So what are we doing with our lives? Young people, are you sure of your salvation? If you're not sure, today's the day to sort it out before it's too late. Today's the day to humble yourselves before God and say, Lord, I don't know. And Lord, I don't know whether I'm saved, and I can't be sure that I'm truly born again. Lord, I don't know whether I am your child. Friend, if you have a doubt, it's time to settle those doubts. It's time to make sure. It's time to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to Him by faith as Savior once and for all. Friends, a prayer will not do it. A prayer will not do it. A prayer is just a prayer. Many religious people pray prayers every day, even this very moment, asking the Lord to take them to heaven. Christ said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. We need to repent of our sins once and for all, turn from our wicked ways, and then by faith put our trust and confidence in Jesus Christ alone to save us by His shed blood once and for all, forever. That's what it means to be born again. A turning away and a turning to Christ for salvation. You see, when Jesus saves us, He saves us forever, permanently. We never have to ask Him to save us again. We never have to ask Him to take us to heaven again. Friend, if you're continuing to pray for the Lord to take you to heaven, that simply reveals in your heart that you've never trusted Him once and for all as your Savior. You're just praying religiously, trusting in your own good works and your prayers to get you to a better place. Friend, God tells us what will come. If you're not sure where you will stand, let me encourage you to make sure this morning. Let me encourage you to come and find us after the service. We'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can make sure of your salvation. See, the future is set. It will happen exactly as God had said. And Joseph was a man of faith because he trusted in God's future promises, did he not? Now, if you are a Christian this morning, if you do know for sure that Christ is your Savior, well, then there are many other promises in the Word of God. Promises about the future. You see, though the lost will stand at the great white judgment throne, there is a judgment for the believer as well. And the Bible tells us it is called the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not a judgment for salvation. That's already taken for the moment we are taken care of, the moment we are born again. Friends, this is a judgment of what you and I did with our lives on earth. And if you and I are not laying hold of the promises of God for the future, we will not live the right kind of life on earth. We won't. Joseph wouldn't have. If Joseph did not believe in God's future promises, he would never have lived by faith. But what kept Joseph living by faith all his life? What kept Joseph walking by faith in the very last moments of his life? Because he believed in the future promises of God. And the promises of God is what keeps you and I on the straight and narrow, amen? If you and I are mindful that we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and have to give an account for our lives, well, that's going to keep us pretty straight. That's going to keep us sensitive to sin in our lives. That's going to keep us serious for God. Friends, we all have an appointment with God. If we are a Christian, we will stand before the Lord. The Bible says we will give an account. What does that mean? A report. The Lord knows our lives, but He will reveal to us what we've done with the life that He's given us as a born-again believer. What an amazing event to come. And God says, I want you to know about it because I want you to be prepared. Friend, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of wonderful rewards, eternal rewards. Can you imagine the greatness of God's love that He not only saves us from the wretchedness of our sins, but He wants to reward us. And He even allows us to serve Him. He allows us to be witnesses for Him. He allows us to serve Him in the local church. He allows us to be used of God. But yet if you and I forget about His future promises, we're going to be in big trouble. We're going to live for all sorts of other reasons, all sorts of other passions, all sorts of other purposes. We need to make sure we're like Joseph of old, and we lay hold on the future promises of God, and we live for that which is to come. We live our lives today for that which is to come. Friends, that's what it means to live by faith. Anytime you and I spend time in the book of Proverbs, it's very obvious, isn't it? There's the wise man and there's the fool. Sometimes we're one and the other. What is the fool? Well, the fool is the one who does not prepare for the road ahead. The fool is the one that ignores and rejects and forgets about what's down the road. That's the fool. Christian, don't live like a fool. God has told us what will happen. God has told us explicitly so that you and I may live by faith in these last days. Think of the keeping power of the promises of God. Joseph was kept by faith because he laid hold on God's future promises. He knew though he may not see them in his own lifetime, God was in control, God had a plan, and God's will would be done. God was faithful. And God's word will encourage us. See, as we look at the future promises of God, as we understand that the Lord may come at any moment, that's important for us to know. Because that will help get us back on track. Friends, if you and I are living for money, if you and I are living for the pleasures of this world, if you and I are living for entertainment, if you and I are living to soak up the lusts of this world as a Christian, friends, we are the number one fools on this planet. Why? Because we know the truth. We have the truth. And yet we choose not to live by faith. Friends, what are we doing with our lives? How are we living our lives? Well, Joseph was a man of faith. With the greatest confidence, he told the next generation, "This is what God will do. I'm going to be with the Lord. But just wait and see. He will surely visit you and deliver you from this place." What an amazing faith. What an amazing faith in God's future promises. May the child of God this morning have such a faith in God and live likewise, like Joseph. Notice lastly, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, as we close. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. The Bible makes a very strange statement at the end of this verse. Notice there with me. "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his" what? His bones. Now to me that's strange. He gave orders to those around him regarding what to do with his bones. With his bones. He gave commandment, the Bible says, concerning his bones. Have a look with me in Genesis chapter 50. At a little bit more detail we're given. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25. Genesis 50 and verse 25. What is Joseph talking about? Why did he make this strange statement? "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence.' So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." The Bible tells us at the end of Joseph's life, before he breathed his last breath, he brought all the heads of the nation of Israel together and he gave them commandment concerning his bones. What was Joseph doing? Well, very simply, we can see in the Word of God, Joseph was doing something very important. Joseph was leaving a legacy of faith, was he not, for the next generation? Because you see, Joseph knew that when he died, though he would be gone, his bones would continue to speak. Joseph said to the nation of Israel, he said, "I want you to carry my bones from this place into the promised land of Canaan when you leave." So what does that mean? Well, practically, every generation had to look after the bones of Joseph. Now, can you imagine looking after the bones of someone's dead body? Imagine if that was your job. You might say this morning, well, that doesn't sound a very pleasant job at all. But when we look at the Word of God, there was a reason for it. Because Joseph's bones would speak. Joseph's bones would remain as a living testimony of the future promises of God. And Joseph, when he died, not only exhibited a faith in God's future promises, but he had faith for the future of the faith. He left his bones and gave commandment concerning his bones to leave a legacy for the next generation, to leave behind a faith to inspire the next generation to likewise lay hold on the promises of God. You see, Joseph's bones would speak. And when one person died, the responsibility was given to someone else. And so on, until the mighty deliverance of God came. What's the last lesson we learn? Well, simply this. He passed on his faith to the next generation. That's what we've learned from these verses this month and last month. Passing on our faith to the next generation. And by the way, not our faith, but the faith. The faith that was once given to the saints. Friends, you and I have a responsibility not only to live by faith, not only to lay hold on God's future promises and live for the future to come, but we need to leave something behind. We need to live now to leave a testimony and legacy of faith behind for the next generation. Now, Joseph did that. He was a very clever cookie, was he not? Absolutely. I would never have thought of that. Maybe we might write something on our tombstone that might inspire our children. You know, that's perhaps the closest that we might get. But Joseph said, look after my bones. One day we're leaving this place and my bones are going with you. And every time you look at my bones, let me encourage you that this is not the end. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God's will be done. God's promises will be fulfilled to the letter. And adults this morning, that's the kind of legacy we need to leave for the next generation. We need to leave a legacy of faith. We need to be careful to do that. We need to be planning out some things in our lives to leave a legacy of faith for the next generation. Joseph was very wise in what he did. Very wise. He was very careful in what he did. He was very concerned in what he did for the next generation. Because he knew he had a responsibility. And likewise, we as Christians also have a responsibility. But how will that happen? How can you and I leave a legacy of faith? Well, it means you and I need to live by faith today. Right now. No, not tomorrow. Today. We need to choose to make the faith our faith. Amen? Not your faith. The faith needs to be our faith. The faith of the Word of God. You and I need to be living in line with the Word of God. And when God says yes and our lives evidence no, we need to say yes to God. We need to come in line with the faith. And we have an epidemic in our churches in this generation of a bunch of Christians who do not want to obey the Word of God. You might come to church. You might say, hey, I've done my bit. Friends, that's got nothing to do with the Christian life. God has called us to be sold out for God. God has called us to be passionate for God. God has called us to be saved, baptized, added to the church. Yes, church membership, if you didn't hear it last weekend, is biblical. If we don't want to be a member of the church, we are living in rebellion and disobedience to God. Absolutely. Why? Because He expects it. He expects church membership. He expects us to be part of the body of Christ that He wants us to be in, the body of the local New Testament church. That's the faith. But if you and I are not living by the faith, what faith are we leaving our children? Well, we leave a lackadaisical faith, as Brother David Cloud put it well. A lazy, lackadaisical, no commitment type of faith. No worries, come in and out as you please. Wear what you want. Dress how you please. Live how you please. As long as you say a bit of an amen on a Sunday morning, then you're right with God. Friends, that's not the faith. And I dare say that the Lord will be much stricter with us at the judgment seat of Christ than we think. Why? Because His Word is very strict. Very strict. So often we're too lenient with ourselves. I'm so often too lenient with myself. Why? Because I live according to my faith, not the faith. And Joseph was not living by his own faith. His trust was in the Word of God, the promises of God. who God is, what God will do. And he left a legacy of faith for the next generation. Church, what are we leaving the next generation? I trust that you want to be an encouragement to the next generation in this church. That's what we should be all about, amen? Not a discouragement. Either we're going to encourage our children, our teenagers, or we're going to discourage them by the way we live as Christians, by our commitment to the Word of God. And thank God we can leave an encouraging legacy, amen? Thank God he allows us to do that. What a privilege that me as a wretched sinner with so much filth in my life as an unsaved person and much filth still to be cleaned up today, that God will allow me to leave a greater blessing and legacy for my children. Amen. That they'll never have to experience the wickedness of the world that I indulged in as a lost man because of his grace in my life and salvation. If I press forward by faith, amen, they'll never need to see the scars of those sins. They'll never need to know what happened. They'll never need to see the destruction that wickedness wreaked in my life because I can press forward by faith. I can raise them up to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, one day they'll have to make a choice, but they won't grow up in a home believing that God does not exist. They won't grow up in a home thinking that there is no God or that God is a religious God that you can get to by good works. They won't grow up with that. If you and I live by faith, we need to be Christians who are serious about God. We will either leave a blessing for our children, or we will leave a curse. That's how serious it is. That's why I'm serious this morning about this theme for this month. Faith for the future of the faith. What are we leaving for our children? What are we doing right now as Christians? You see, Joseph knew that things were not going to get easier for the nation of Israel. Would you agree with that statement this morning? Things were going to get a lot harder. Has anyone switched on and watched the news recently? Have any of you felt impressed in your hearts to realize that the future is going down, getting worse? Would you agree with me this morning? Friends, the future for our children is not going to be easier than it was for us. It's going to be much more difficult. So therefore, the Bible says we need to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be more radically committed to the Word of God today, because our children are heading into the last days more than you and I. We need to be serious about our faith. They need to be more serious soul winners than us. So what do? Well, we need to go soul winning, adults. We need to be witnesses today if they're going to reach their generation if the Lord tarries. We need to be faithful to the house of God if we expect our children even to darken the doors of this church. If you and I are slack in our commitment to the Word of God and the house of God, what do we expect? Where do we expect our children to be in the next generation? Well, that slackness will just multiply. That disobedience, let's replace the word, that disobedience will have sown in their hearts deeply. That's the faith that will leave them. Our faith, not God's faith. Our legacy, not God's legacy. See, the just shall live by faith. By the faith of the Word of God. The Bible says we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once given to the saints. Friend, are you contending for the faith by committing yourself to God, to the Word of God? That's where we need to be at. If we're anywhere else, then you are a discouragement to this church. Now, some of you need to make up your mind why you are here. Amen? Let me encourage you. Make up your mind why you are here. Why am I here? Will I be a visitor forever? Or am I going to be committed to serving the Lord in this place? And let's get busy striving together for the faith of the gospel, amen? There's a lot to do. God wants to use us. He's put us here for a reason. Friends, we are pushing forward by faith in many areas of ministry, but some of us are just sitting back on our blessed assurance and doing nothing for the glory of God. Nothing. And you're being a discouragement. You're being a hindrance to our young people. Either you decide what you want to do, or maybe you need to find a lackadaisical church that has a little cup of coffee beforehand and just a little handshake. As long as you give a little bit of money, they're happy if you come. Friends, this is not that kind of church. God has put us here for a purpose, to leave a legacy of faith. Amen? A serious legacy for our children, for the next generation, to get busy. That's what faith means. Thank God. Thank God He can use us. Thank God He wants to use us. We need to get serious today. Let me encourage you, parents, to get serious in your homes about the Lord. In teaching your children about God, are they genuinely saved? Point number one, are they saved? If they're not, well, pray, pray, pray. Get serious about God. Spend time in His Word. Share the Word of God at home. Let your children see Christ in you, not your faith. Let them see the faith, amen? The faith of God in you. Let them see the faith of God in your service to church. I tell you what, if a child is brought to church and they have to come, praise God. But the parents need to lead the way. And one day something's going to click. My parents care about God. This is important. What God is doing in this place is important. What God is doing in Cairns is important. And they will catch on. Faith is caught on, you see. Joseph left something behind because he knew that his bones will speak. May our bones speak as we depart this life, if the Lord tarries, so that our children will go on and see the promises of God fulfilled. What is a building program? Well, it's simply you and I leaving a legacy of faith for the next generation. A place where they may come and worship. A place where that is laid aside for the worship of God in this place, in this city. That's what a building program is. And Joseph left something behind for the future of the faith. Friends, God has given us something that has to be handed down. God has given you something that has to be handed down. What will we do with it in this generation? Well, it starts with us by making Him real. Let me encourage you to trust Him today when the future seems uncertain. Let me encourage you to live in light of the future promises of God. And let me challenge you to leave a legacy of faith for the future of the faith. That's what we learn from Joseph's life. What a great example of faithfulness in God.